You know, all through Epiphany, we've been talking about how Jesus is the light of the world. Have you gotten that message? Yes. Yeah, okay. It's been said a couple of times, I think. Not just of the Jewish people. He's the Savior, not just of the Jewish people, but of the whole entire world. And this morning is the last Sunday of Epiphany, and on this Sunday, we always, I want to drill that home. Last Sunday of Epiphany, we always, can you say it with me? Always talk about the Transfiguration. And I'll be explaining why later on. Now, the Transfiguration narrative is when Jesus' appearance changed, and that's really what Transfiguration means, is to change. So it's when he changed in front of his disciples, and he started shining bright. That's really just what Transfiguration means. He changed, he started shining bright, to show them his divine power and glory. It was a special moment to help them see who he really was. And this account can be found in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the synoptic gospels. And this is a freebie, I'm just throwing this in. The term synoptic term comes from the Greek word that means to see together, right? You heard the word optic in there, synoptic. It means to see together, okay? So that's a freebie. And anyone who's read the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, knows that they're very similar in their content. You know, one of these things is not like the other, right? The four Gospels. John is a little different, right? He organizes the content in his Gospel thematically, right? The other guys just kind of go chronologically through Jesus' life. John organizes his content according to themes. But even he alludes to this event, the Transfiguration event in his gospel, when he writes in the very first chapter, John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen? That's talking about the Transfiguration event. Now, the disciples' perception of Jesus and of themselves were deeply impacted and changed by the Transfiguration event on that mountain. They were never the same. Never, ever, ever, ever. And so the question for us this morning is this. Are we going to sit here and read the story like we do every year and move on with our lives? Or are we going to allow it to enter in and allow the Holy Spirit to move us through it? To Lord, please transform us as you transform the disciples. Would you let some of that light shine into us? Please. Let's pray. Lord, even as you shone on that mountaintop so many years ago, Lord, would you show us your glory? Lord, we need glimpses of your glory to sustain us, Lord. Lord, we pray that even this morning we would see something of your glory, even if it's just a glimmer. Give us something to walk away with this morning, Lord, that will sustain us for this day, this week, this month, this year. Help us, Lord, we pray. In our weakness, Lord, be our strength. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago, I mentioned how some have described the spiritual life as an upward or Godward ascent up a mountain where there's an encounter. And then as a result of that encounter, there's a revelation of some sort about ourselves. Something that we weren't aware of before, right? You know, the prophet Isaiah had just such an encounter in chapter 6. Maybe you've read it before. Where he beheld the glory of the Lord and all he could say was, woe to me, am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Remember that? He became profoundly aware of his unholiness in the presence of perfect holiness. And then, after the revelation or inward movement, right? There's that descent down the mountain and the outward movement where we become message bearers of all that we have seen and heard. We don't hoard it. We don't keep it to ourselves. We become message bearers. But the transfiguration story is a little different, isn't it? The disciples are terrified. But Peter starts talking about, hey, let's set up tents and let's camp out. I mean, there's no woe to me. I am ruined. And then a voice comes from heaven saying, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. And this statement from God the Father is directed, I believe, at both Jesus and the disciples. It's for both for Jesus and the disciples. This is now the second time that we have heard the Father's heavenly voice in the Gospels. The first time was at Jesus' baptism when the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove as he began his ministry. Remember? And now again, the Father affirms his love for the Son and tells the trembling disciples, listen to him. And the question is, why? Why now? Why does the Father affirm the Son now? Well, we've already talked about how the disciples needed to see the revelation of Jesus' divine power and glory. You know, just a short chapter back, Peter had confessed Jesus as the Messiah, Christ, the Savior. Is that right? Mark chapter 8, look it up. And then a few verses later, Jesus begins to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. And the word says that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never mind, you're the Christ. That ain't gonna happen. Right? You're my conquering champion. You're my Messiah. You're my Prince of Peace. You know, you're going to be the conquering Savior. So the transfiguration was, you know, an event that for Peter must have been awesome, right? But the Bible says that Jesus turned and rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So for Peter and the other disciples, the transfiguration was a reminder and an evidence that Jesus really was the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior of the world. But the transfiguration was also for Jesus, a reminder and an affirmation of the empowering and sustaining love of God. The empowering and sustaining love of the Father. You know, this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, which marks the beginning of the holy season of Lent, where we journey with Jesus to the cross, to Good Friday. And we read the story of the transfiguration right before Lent for a few key reasons. Number one, it reveals Jesus' divine glory and identity before he faces suffering. That's number one. Number two, it serves as a pivotal moment pointing toward Jesus' future suffering and death. And number three, it reminds us of the glory that awaits after suffering. And I just want to spend a few moments unpacking each of these points. Number one, it reveals Jesus' divine glory and identity before he faces suffering. And we don't have to spend too much time on this one because we've already talked a little bit about it. You know, the disciples were eyewitnesses to Jesus' radiant in light and majesty. They needed to see him as shining Savior before they saw him as suffering servant. If all they saw was the suffering servant, their faith would have been shattered. Right? You follow a guy around for three and a half years. No matter how many miracles he's done, you see him die like that. Yeah. But wait a minute. You see him shine on a mountaintop and talking to Moses and Elijah? That changes things. That changes things. Because they caught a glimpse of Jesus in all his glory, they were sustained as he humbled himself on the cross for our sin. So number two, it serves as a pivotal moment pointing toward Jesus' future suffering and death. In each of the synoptic gospels, the transfiguration happens in the middle of Jesus' ministry. You know, we read this story at this point on the church calendar each year because both literally and figuratively, the story is a high point. Jesus ascends a mountain, is transfigured, travels downhill, and continues to Jerusalem and his death. That's it. It's like this is the peak, and from here it's all downhill. In both Matthew and Mark, Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem begins shortly after the transfiguration. Now, Moses and Elijah specifically speak with Jesus about his departure. And the word here is literally his exodus, alluding to his crucifixion. So the whole story sets the stage for Lent and Easter. So this is why we read this right before Lent. And number three, it reminds us of the glory that awaits after suffering. We would like the glory without the suffering, wouldn't we? But as has so often been said, no guts, no glory. You ever hear that one? Or here's the more sanctified Christian version. No cross, no crown. You ever hear that one too? That's the more sanctified Christian version. As Jesus faced the cross, so Lent invites us to confront mortality, sacrifice, and our need for redemption. And the transfiguration gives hope that death is not the end, but that passing through death leads to resurrection into eternal life and glory with Christ. Did you know that someday you will be bright, shining like the sun, just like Jesus was on that mountaintop? Only it won't just be for a little while, but forever. And you'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when you first begun. Amen. We prayed a prayer this morning. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. The prayer is taken from 2 Corinthians 3:18, which I would now like to read to you from the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. Any Amplified Bible fans out there? Okay, this is from the Classic Edition. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Did you catch that? We are constantly being transfigured. We are constantly being changed. We are constantly being transformed. Not will be changed. Not will be transformed. No, right here, right now, we are being changed. We are being transformed. This is not some future event. This is happening right here, right now, as we sit here this morning. And you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I don't feel different. Well, neither do I. But do we believe and trust in God's word? We are being transformed into his image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. Hallelujah! But the prayer says it happens as we do what? Beholding by faith the light of his countenance. Beholding by faith the light of his countenance. Now, how in the world do I do that? Beholding by faith the light of his countenance. The prayer says that when we do that, we'll be strengthened to bear a cross. And that's when that wonderful transformation stuff happens, right? So we want to make sure we do that. Just as Jesus revealed his glory to Peter, James, and John on the mountaintop, we get glimpses of Christ's light and truth as we walk with him through our own lives. I believe that we get glimpses as we spend time with him in prayer, as we spend time with him in the word, as we spend time with him in worship, as we spend time with him in service, as we spend time with him in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think that that's where we get our glimpses of God's glory. I really believe that. That's where we can behold the light of Christ's countenance. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have a supernatural encounter, right? I'm not denying the possibility of that. But for most of us, this is where we're going to encounter. As a matter of fact, I think that that's where 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That's what it says in the Amplified, at least, are the implications in the Greek, that we continue to behold in the Word of God. So these spiritual encounters are what strengthen our faith when trials, tribulations, and suffering come our way. And Lent in particular is a good time to meditate on the redemption that Jesus won for us on the cross. As we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice this season, we confess the areas that we fall short of being formed into his image. We bring our flawed humanity before God. And by faith, we receive the transforming power of God's forgiveness and grace to make us over from the inside out. Step by step, encounter by encounter, we are changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Our Lenten journey prepares us for that metamorphosis. And just as the disciples descended the mountain, charged to serve in new ways, we descend from this season to live and love like the one whose face shone like the sun, the shining Savior, the suffering servant. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.